Hello and welcome to StudyClex Explains. We have teamed up once again with Peter Tobin to bring you a mini podcast series all about Shakespeare's Hamlet. Peter Tobin is an English teacher with a YouTube channel called Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, where you can find loads of free videos covering different parts of the Leaving Cert English course. We've linked his channel in the description. We can't recommend enough that you check it out and subscribe to get updates on the new content he's making. For StudyClex Explains, Peter has recorded a series of episodes where he goes into specific aspects of what you need to know about Hamlet. He aims to equip you with not just the basics of the Shakespeare play, but also the knowledge on how to give deeper interpretations that will help you score higher marks in your exam. This is the first episode of the series, so to kick us off, Peter is going to give us some background on the play, exploring when and why Shakespeare wrote this play in the first place. The next voice you're going to hear is Peter's, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello and welcome to this StudyClex Explains podcast looking at Shakespeare's Hamlet. We're going to take a look at some background to the play, go through the plot, look at the main characters and themes, as well as some examples of the sort of imagery that you could talk about in an essay in the Leaving Cert exam. So let's start by taking a look at some of the background to the play and the author. As with so many of Shakespeare's plays, Hamlet is based on an earlier story and has been repurposed for the stage by Shakespeare. Our Hamlet is based in Denmark, and the original version, or one of them at least, is a pagan story common in Norway and Iceland. The original text is long lost, but there's a Latin translation that survives, and in it, a son, Amlethus, takes revenge on his uncle for killing his father and marrying his mother. There are many other parallels with our Hamlet. He kills an eavesdropper, he's sent to England to be murdered, but eventually returns to Denmark. He kills his uncle and reclaims the throne. The original story is set roughly in the 12th century, but Shakespeare modernises it and sets it in the Elizabethan era. There are a few indicators of the time period, the main one being the use of poison, the presence of clowns or court jesters, as well as mentions of university training. These allow us to presume a setting in or around the 16th century, the same time that Shakespeare lived. Another play, called The Spanish Tragedy, written by Thomas Kyd, who was a playwright writing at the same time as Shakespeare, is similar in some points to Hamlet. In that play, a Spanish general is driven mad by the murder of his son, and in order to seek revenge, he organises a performance, a play, and during it uses a real sword to kill the person who murdered his son. Again, the parallels with Shakespeare's Hamlet are clear. It's worth pointing out here that this borrowing and repurposing would have been totally accepted in Shakespeare's day. The idea of ownership over his plays or his ideas would have seemed strange. His was a joint enterprise with the other actors in his company, as well as the other owners of the theatre. It wasn't until later in his life he began to receive attention as an author in his own right, and it wasn't until after his death that his plays were collected and published under his own name. So why are we looking at the source material for this play? What does it matter where the idea for Hamlet came from? Well, what it does mean is that we can see the source material and then identify the parts that are truly Shakespeare, the parts that he added in. For example, the use of the ghost is entirely original. The use of the fencing bout at the end of the play, as well as the play within a play, are both absent from the original story, and the device of the play within a play, it may have been borrowed from Thomas Kyd's Spanish Tragedy. There are some other interesting features in the background of Hamlet as well. Shakespeare's own son was named Hamnet and died aged 11, 5 years or so before the play was written. Some critics have attempted to draw a connection between Shakespeare's reaction to his son's death and the play that he wrote. Whether it's useful or not is really up for debate. In fact, he was actually writing comedies mostly around the time that his son died and for a few years after. One thing that we do know for certain though is that Shakespeare was writing Hamlet at the same time as the mourning period for his father after his father died. As we've mentioned already, one of the key additions Shakespeare makes to the original story is that of the ghost, and in the play, it is the father's ghost. The Shakespeare critic and biographer Peter Ackroyd maintains that this part, that of the ghost, is one that Shakespeare himself played during performances of the play. Ghosts, too, are associated closely with the Catholic faith. Ideas of purgatory and unfinished business before eternal rest are ideas that come from Catholicism. In Shakespeare's England, many Catholics were forced to convert to Protestantism after the Reformation. There are many critics, Ackroyd included, who maintain that John Shakespeare, Shakespeare's father, remained a Catholic secretly and refused to attend Church of England or Protestant services. So we have a play where the hero is named very close to the author's dead son, where there is also the ghost of a dead father, originally played by the playwright himself. It's clear that fathers and sons and their relationships to each other are very much to the forefront of his mind. And again, according to Aykroyd, many of Shakespeare's later plays, Hamlet included, have the pervasive theme of families reunited and love restored. As already mentioned, the idea of authorship, especially for plays in English at this time, was not common. But it was beginning to change. English theatre, or theatre written in the vernacular, which means written in English as opposed to Latin, were looked down upon generally, and although many acting companies and theatres were sponsored by the nobility, Shakespeare's was even sponsored by the king himself, the whole business of theatre was not totally respectable. But Hamlet was the only Shakespeare play performed both at Cambridge and Oxford universities during Shakespeare's lifetime, and it also began to prompt the examination of characters in more detail. Previously, characters were just archetypes, representations of things or ideas, so good or evil, revenge or redemption. But it is with Shakespeare, and particularly with Hamlet, that critics really begin to talk about character. In the broader sense, it is around this time too that writing begins to be seen as a tool of reflection and introspection, something in evidence in what Hamlet is doing. And the Elizabethan theatre was the art of the character. There was very little else in terms of staging or special effects to convey the whole array of moods and emotions that Hamlet goes through, so it meant the performance of the character had to be everything. Even today, with all of his soliloquies and moods, playing the character of Hamlet is seen as a major challenge to any actor. Similarly, the play is Shakespeare's longest, a huge challenge to stage today, let alone during Elizabethan times when all of Shakespeare's plays staged in the Globe would have been on in the afternoon while there was daylight. Some critics maintain that its length suggests that it was never written to be performed, just to be read. While this is probably unlikely, perhaps the full version, with all of Shakespeare's character development, scenes and soliloquies, may have been written to be read, while performance of it would have cut certain aspects as required. Hamlet, then, is a play of character, of depth and of feeling. It's associated closely with the author's sense of loss surrounding his father, and perhaps partly even his son. It comes at a time when Shakespeare's reputation was on the rise and his work was helping to transform how theatre was seen in London and further afield. It's one of his most well-known works and immensely challenging for the audience and actors alike. But what's it actually all about?
That concludes the first episode of the series. We hope that this analysis will help you to understand the reasons why Shakespeare may have focused on particular plot points and characters, as they may have reflected his personal life experiences at the time the play was written. Once again, if you enjoyed this, we would really encourage that you check out Peter's YouTube channel, Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, which is linked in the description. Trust us when we say this is an incredible free resource for 5th and 6th year students. And we hope you stay tuned for more content like this.